Our beloved Brian Cox has come forward and stated that woke culture is truly awful. And today we're going to be reacting to that. I cannot wait to talk about it. We have some other stories on the board as well. We're going to be talking about the Sound of Freedom, which continues to be in the midst of a bunch of controversy, people calling it a conspiracy theory, people going to the movie theaters and not being able to actually watch the film. And there's more. Stick around. All right, guys, happy Wednesday. It's hump day. Do people still say that anymore? I don't know.
Mike. You do. You're bringing it back.
Taylor's in Nashville.
Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday.
And Scott's. Hump day. Yeah, happy hump day. Scott's
up,
in the producer's
guys?
Bay. How you doing, guys? Everybody feeling good? We have some stories to get into today. I don't know if you guys watched Succession. I totally did. Scott did. We eventually got Taylor and his wife
you
into
did.
It. So you're
yeah,
currently...
we're like season three getting into
okay,
it.
Okay, you're season three. The moment I saw this show, I was hooked. I'm into it. And Brian Cox, of course, is just a leader on the screen in this show playing Logan Roy, which has really... I guess jump-started his career again. I remember seeing him in Super Troopers. I also think, isn't he the guy who voices the Burger King commercials?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, recently he started doing that.
Yeah. So
I know him from the Bourne movies. He was awesome in the Bourne movies.
Hey,
I mean, he's a bad guy.
But. He's also been in Troy. He's got a bunch of acting credits. He's really been around the block. He recently went on Piers Morgan's show, and they got into a discussion surrounding woke culture, politics in the U.S. and in the U.K. And we're going to react to some of that today because Brian Cox said that woke culture is truly awful. So I'm interested to hear his perspective. A lot of people are saying, wow, that's so Logan Roy of him. You know, there's the famous joke that all of the actors in Succession are just playing themselves. And with this new statement that woke culture is truly awful, it is very Logan Roy.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the clip.
Are things worse now, or is our perception of life worse because of things like social media inflaming everything?
Well, I don't think social media helps. It hinders rather than helps, and I think it points up too readily inadequacies that we can actually, and the whole woke, well, we've talked about this before, the whole woke culture, I think, is truly awful.
And the shaming culture. Which I really feel quite strongly about. This incessant need to shame and bury people.
And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who are the arbiters of this shaming.
Right.
And it's very hard to pin them down. And it turns out it's usually a bunch of millennials.
You know? Right. And who gave them the halos?
I don't know.
I mean, it's extraordinary.
Well, I mean, I suppose in a way they're probably saying, well, you've all screwed it up, so we may as well do something about it. But it's from the wrong principle. Comes from the wrong place.
Okay. Are you guys technically millennials?
Oh, yeah.
What have we got going on?
Yeah, I was about to say, first of all, why are we blaming millennials for the wokeness? I mean, I guess millennials were around when it started, but I feel like it's more of a Gen Z thing, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's spread all across the board. I don't know that we can attribute it to any one generation. I think
it's such a boomer thing to do, to be like, oh, those darn millennials. Like, stuff's not our fault anymore. It's Gen Z's fault.
Honestly, sometimes they can't even distinguish, you know, who's Gen Z and who's millennial at this point anymore. So I don't know that you can attribute it to any generation in particular. But what he points out of social media exacerbating the problem is actually so interesting. And of course, we've talked about this in depth on the show. That social media makes it so easy to highlight things that we deem to be wrong with the world or to shape things through the lens of injustice and oppression. So you can see one social media clip that makes you feel some type of way, and it can alter your total day. In fact, your total mindset. And the fact that we are consuming so much of this on a daily basis, it can really start to change the way that you view the world, how sensitive you are to the words and the actions of other people. And maybe that is exactly what's happening with woke culture. And he states that he doesn't know who the arbiters are, which I think they get into a deeper discussion, which we're gonna talk about here. But the social media element was interesting. I wonder if Brian Cox is on social media, and if so, what's he surfing on?
Have a burner account, yeah. Logan Roy.
He's got a Finsta.
Yeah, that's interesting that you brought it up too, is social media. I'm currently reading this book called Wanting by Luke Burgess, mm-hmm. and it's talking about Rene Girard's mimetic theory. And it's essentially talking, and that kind of gets to the heart of, like, people don't really know what they want in life. They're chasing desires, which people have put forth in front of them. So they're desiring these outcomes, these things in life, but they actually don't necessarily want them. They're just desiring them because others do. And I feel as though social media has exacerbated that entire situation. And, you know, Peter Thiel is a huge part of this book because he was a student of Girard's at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was one of the early investors into Facebook. And he saw that this was a very much a mimetic platform, and people would be drawn to it because it shows, like, the inner workings of the individual themselves and what they're interested in, what they like to do, all this kind of stuff. And now it's just gone haywire. And everybody's chasing these wants and fake lives and dreams that are on their phones, and it's not real.
Yeah, I find myself doing that sometimes in just the smallest of ways. I can feel social media influencing me. Like, if I scroll on TikTok and see a girl talk about, I don't know, a particular product that she's using in her makeup that she really loves, the next day I'll be like gravitating towards said thing that I saw in the video. And you have to think that if that's happening on the little things like that, where is it happening on, you know, major deals in our lives? Where is it truly influencing our emotions? On a previous show, I had seen a video of this guy saying, oh, you know, I thought London was going to be so wonderful, and then I got to London and it was garbage. There's graffiti everywhere. It's just like America. It's no better than us and all these things. And I'm about to go to London just for a small vacation. And I felt it influencing the way I felt about something that I was about to do in my real life. And that is not cool. It's not cool. And I still find myself being susceptible to not being able to unplug. And, you know, partially it's because of what we do for work here, but also it's just because we have this natural tendency to move towards social media and to watch things and to get that dopamine hit. There was a story that I saw the other day that there are now people who are running zoos that are leaving signs up outside of gorilla cages saying that if you are visiting the zoo, please, we beg of you, do not pull out your phone to show videos to the gorillas, because people are going and scrolling through social media for them, allowing them to, like, watch videos of magic tricks and stuff like that. And what these zookeepers noticed is it was actually influencing the behavior of the gorillas to where they weren't acting like their natural selves anymore. They're not doing the very same things that they used to do within their habitats. They're, in fact, were sitting there waiting for guests to come and show them morph screens.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
That is, yeah, I saw that video. It's completely crazy. The reality check for me with the influence of social media, like, personally, you shared yours, Amala, and for me it was, I was participating in this church group, kind of leading like this small group type of thing. And one of the guys who was a part of it followed me on Instagram. And at the time I had been, you know, dropping some hot takes on Twitter and posting some clips of me on the podcast where I was saying things that I thought sounded really good and were kind of getting a lot of engagement within a certain demographic of people who wanted to hear that, but mm-hmm. not necessarily the same type of things that I would say in my church group, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was like a cool guy and everything, and so he followed me, and then I found myself like, wait a second, do I want him to see this tweet and that clip and this, you know? And it just gave me a reality check of like, am I performing into this role a little bit? Am I really being authentic with what I'm posting on my social media? Is it really a reflection of who I am? And especially, I guess, in the position we're in, it's like there's a temptation to always like play to the audience a little bit, say things just because you know they'll get engagement. And I felt fake, and it's caused me since then to, like, first of all, I archive some posts, and it's caused me to kind of run the check. I think of this guy before I post sometimes, and I'm like, you know what? Is this true to who I am? Am I really being myself? And what's funny now is like most of the time, what feels most natural is to not post anything on social media because it's not really something I think about or care to do. But when I do go to post, it's usually more something where I really spoke from my heart when we addressed that topic and I felt good about that. Or, you know, similarly with a tweet or something, like I'm much more trying to be authentic and sincere when I'm on social media and not just, you know, doing these living into a meme like Scott's talking about, or projecting some image into the world.
Yeah, it's just that the question is, like, at what point can you no longer tell the way that it's influencing you anymore? No matter how self-aware you try to be, or aware of just the algorithmic function of these different platforms, there's still things that are going to creep in on you and you're just never going to know about. So we went off on a tangent there. We're going to get back to Brian Cox on Piers Morgan Uncensored. Let's hear more about what he had to say. They get into the alteration of media from back in the day, or at least like putting disclaimers on media saying this is going to cover, you know, the topic of race or the topic of World War II or the Holocaust. We want to make sure to give you your trigger warning. Here's that clip.
There were a few stories recently where I actually immediately thought of you and thought I could almost hear the steam coming out of your ears. One was that there's a new theatre production of The Sound of Music where there are literally warnings to audiences because they say the musical touches on Nazi Germany and the annexation of Austria, that an audience now has to be warned about The Sound of Music.
Well, this is what I mean. This is what I can't stand. I can't stand the way we want to rewrite history. Mm. I can't stand the way we don't want to acknowledge history. Mm. And it's so important to acknowledge what our history is, because that defines who we are and where we've got to. And without acknowledging history, we are screwed. You're well and truly screwed. And I think we've not done that nearly enough.
But all these trigger warnings that people want to put now on art, whether it's books, poetry, films, theatre productions, whatever it may be, when do we get so sensitive, so overly offended? Are we, or is it other people deciding we ought to be?
I think it really is about other people deciding we ought to be. I don't think we are.
I don't know anyone who goes to The Sound of Music who needs to be told, by the way, there are references to Nazi Germany. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I find that, I don't know where that's coming from.
Mm. Let's pause there. What do you think? Is it, you know, people saying I'm offended by this and therefore you should place a trigger warning on it? Or is it, you know, a hierarchical structure of people saying I feel as though others are going to be offended by this or should feel some type of way about this, so let's put the trigger warning on it?
Definitely the latter.
Yeah, you think?
I don't know if that was a rhetorical question. Sorry.
No. Open for discussion. 100%. So you think it's more of a structure at place that people are making these larger decisions on behalf of everyone else?
Yeah, it's like we see it all the time on social media and everything, of people being offended on behalf of other people. Like, what was it? The Asian cultural appropriation, you know, TikTok lady who's just so all this hypersensitivity where the people of the cultures being quote unquote appropriated are not offended themselves, but someone needs to be offended on their behalf. And it's really, I think what motivates it is just this sense of enlightenment about the world and how people weren't as enlightened with morality as I am today back in 1960 when they created this portrayal or whatever. And so they need a trigger warning, it's not that people need a trigger warning. I need to put a trigger warning on there because I will feel virtuous and I will let everyone know how enlightened I am now and differentiate myself from them by supporting this and doing this.
What a self-censored way to like go through the world thinking that you can be the arbiter of what should make other people feel a certain way. That actually blows my mind to hear from people who are saying you should feel offended by this, you should be angry about this, you should be triggered by this. They truly think they must have some sort of complex about other people's emotions and what they should or should not be triggered by. And they speak about The Sound of Music and the disclaimer placed on that musical. I've been experiencing this in recent years, of course, because this is a phenomenon of recent years. This has not been happening, for decades now. One, going on Disney Plus. If you go on Disney Plus and you try to watch, like, The Aristocats, or you try to watch, I believe, Aladdin, and there's a few other films in there as well.
Swiss Family Robinson's one of them, I think.
Yep. Yeah. You click on it. They give you a little disclaimer at the beginning of the film, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it says something along the lines of, you know, this film portrays different races or marginalized groups in a way that could be, you know, insinuated to be discriminatory. And it's basically a trigger warning for the audience to let you know that, you know, when this film was made, there was racial depictions of these people. And we just want to let you know that we no longer feel that way, and that Disney has, you know, subscribed to the idea of being inclusive for all, and we're anti-racism and all these things. So you have to watch that before you get to be entertained by a film. And then yesterday, I was going and watching Mad Men, as you all know I'm watching, and there is an episode where one of the characters, who, mind you, this show is in the 1960s, is in blackface and does a performance. And it's clearly meant to show that this was a sign of the times and that this was not something good to be doing, right? But instead of just letting people watch the episode, come to their own conclusions about how they feel with the blackface depiction, they give you a little disclaimer at the beginning of the episode and said, you know, the directors of this episode in particular chose to put a scene in here where a certain character dresses up in blackface. We in no way condone these actions. This was just, you know, something that was done at the time, and we felt in order to accurately depict this, we wanted to put it in the episode. And then it warns you, the episode will be playing in its entirety without the scene being edited out. Oh my gosh. Like, who is asking for this? Who is that sensitive that they can't take a historically fictional depiction of a wrongdoing? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't want to keep bringing it up, but I'm currently living in it, obviously. So this Wanting book keeps talking about the mimesis and of people. And
yeah,
like when virtue signaling is valued, you know, whether it's social, that has social value out there in the ether, people are going to chase it because they see others virtue signaling and gaining points, mm-hmm. likes, comments, what have you, views, all of the things. And that's just going to snowball effect into people wanting to chase that even more and capture that even more.
Right.
And it's not necessarily their actual true desire. It's just they're wanting it because they see other people doing it, gaining that clout, and it's all totally incentivized. So it's almost as though companies have now apprehended this tool and are now utilizing it to show like, hey, we are the arbiters, you know, we are the ones who are going to champion this idea and this virtue out there in the world and make all of you better people.
Gosh. And what happens when it jumps from disclaimer to actual editing? That's the question. What happens when they decide the disclaimer, the trigger warning, is not good enough for people, and people come back and say, you know, the trigger warning wasn't enough. You need to edit that out of the show. Nobody's eyes should see that. And then suddenly you have pieces of history and art and media and entertainment completely edited out and in no way, shape, or form the way that they were intended to be shown to an audience. What happens?
That's straight up 1984. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, every record's been erased and all the history's been rewritten. That's straight up out of that book. And I think a lot of it comes from just a fundamental worldview where you have this sort of utopian vision of how things ought to be. And then you look at the past and judge it and just say, well, let's just cut out the parts that we don't like and that doesn't fit with our reality. And let's just pretend like that never was. But that's the problem, is if you erase the past, how can you learn from it? And we should have to contend with our history, even the darkest parts, and just cutting out bad things that happened in history and pretending like everything, you know, history started whenever woke people arose. It's just, it's counterproductive, and it's going to end up making a bunch of uninformed, morally shallow people who feel very virtuous, but are susceptible to commit the same atrocities that have already happened in history, because the common denominator is their humanity. They're still human beings. We're still flawed humans trying to make sense of the world. And if we don't at least look at history and look at the difficult parts of history and are able to learn from that, then we're basically setting ourselves up to just repeat the same mistakes.
Yeah, and it's just, there's such a lack of like context and intent, right? If you see a show where a character's dressed in blackface and you immediately think this means the directors and creators of this show are endorsing this activity, there's something not making the connection there. We need to be able to take in context and use nuance and understand that maybe that's not the message that they're giving me. Maybe this is actually a character flaw in this character that is now being presented on the screen. Or is every single character supposed to be like completely virtuous and have, you know, a full moral bank at any given time? Let's hear more from Brian Cox.
Sorry, I was going to say that's a good point, because like then if they're going to use that same logic, why do we continuously see Nazis portrayed in films and movies and shows and all these things? It's like, they're terrible people. Why are we promoting this? Like,
right.
Are the filmmakers actually promoting that crazy ideology. Like, exactly. You know, so use the same logic in that situation. And yeah, maybe we should just have rainbows and butterflies all day.
That's the slope we're on.
Also, it's interesting that Brian Cox is the one that's criticizing this, because if anyone understands this, that's him. He plays a horrible human being on Succession, and their whole family, that whole show is just a bunch of terrible, terrible people. And so the idea that everything that gets on screen is only things that we should be, you know, morally acceptable and approving of. Like, of course, Brian Cox is going to understand that that's not the case. And it's okay to portray difficult things and immoral things because it makes you contend with them. And that's reflective of the real world that we live in. Those things are out there. And to just write and pretend like it's all, you know, roses and rainbows is not it.
Yeah, and I think even in, like, delving into Succession, we won't get too far into it because I know not all of you watch that show, but you, in watching that show, you can have the takeaway be that, you know, these are all horrible characters and they all do wrong things. But by the end of the show, you start to understand how people who do things that you consider to be wrong are shaped and formed, and like what background brings them to where they're at. His character specifically, Logan Roy, has this super long history of abuse that brings him to where he is when you actually watch the show. So if you do not allow those sorts of conversations, especially when we're talking about real historical events, they're going to repeat themselves, as he so astutely pointed out.
I really don't. I want to know who's making those.
I think it's a small number of people. It gets whipped up by a sort of very woke mob on social media. Before we know it, this becomes standard practice. Mm-hmm. Then you start seeing all the books having great chunks rewritten.
Well, you know, we had the whole thing with Roald Dahl, you know, which is disgraceful.
It's ridiculous. It's
absolutely disgraceful. I mean, Roald Dahl is he was a difficult man, but he wrote some amazing stuff.
But if the criteria for cancelling people or revisiting everything they do was being difficult, you would wipe out almost every artist of any note in history. Yeah, they're all a bit difficult.
Exactly. Charles Dickens, boom,
gone.
And you know, and you go, it's not on. Mm. It's just simply not on. And it also comes from complete ignorance. Mm. It's an ignorant state that creates this sort of, oh, that's bad, that's good. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to say, of course, you know, that's what happened.
Michael Sheen recently.
So much wisdom. So much wisdom in what he just said there. And we are actually going to talk about Roald Dahl on tomorrow's episode of the show, because the new Wonka trailer just got released with Timothée Chalamet now playing Willy Wonka. So we're going to react to that and talk about it. He wrote amazing books. And it's not just Roald Dahl, you know, Dr. Seuss, as they mentioned. He said Charles Dickens could be on the chopping board if that's what we're taking into account and using to cancel people or cancel their works. These writers dragged through the mud, even though they've created something that have stood the test of time for generations and generations, speaking to something fundamental, specifically in children. And now Roald Dahl's legacy is going to be, he's a white supremacist and some sort of a pro-slavery racist or something like that. That's what people are saying about him. Just nothing, no context taken into account ever. Now they're going to briefly talk about Michael Sheen. And we talk about acting a lot on this show and how there are calls, essentially, for actors to only play themselves, right? You can only play who you actually are in films. They don't want non-disabled people playing disabled people. They don't want, non-Asians playing Asian characters, whatever it is, you know, the case may be. They don't want anything crossing.
Happen.
Michael Sheen recently said that non-Welsh actors playing Welsh characters he found hard to accept. What do you think of that?
Well, it depends. I don't find it hard to accept that they can do the work. I mean, I played Nye Bevan. You know, I played Nye Bevan. I'm a Scot. I played a Welshman.
How was your Welsh accent?
Very good.
Can we have
No, I'm not going to. I'm not a performing monkey.
Come on, Brian.
Look, you. I don't agree with Michael Sheen, and I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in having. If a non-Scottish person can do the Scottish thing, I'll buy it.
So if I was to suddenly take up acting and play William Wallace, you'd be fine with that?
If you were any good. I mean, if you were I would certainly...
On that bombshell, Brian, great to catch up with you.
Lovely to talk
really,
to you.
Really appreciate it.
So let's get into that, because there's a lot to cover there. Okay, so a non-Welsh actor playing a Welsh actor. I think that it's okay so long as you are actually taking on the role, you look like the person you are meant to be portraying, and of course, that's what acting is all about, being something that you are not. right? And that people should be able to explore that on the screen. And the fact that there are calls for, like, if you are this, you only play this. I mean, meanwhile, we have, like, you know, trans women playing women in films and all this back and forth and things being switched up. There's just no consistency whatsoever.
No, no, no. I think it was interesting, too, the way he ended it. He was talking about, essentially, if you do the role, like he was talking to Pierce, if you do the role well, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a problem with it. And there's a level of, like, respect that the actor would show toward the character that is outside of the realm of physical, immutable characteristics.
Right.
So he's actually speaking to the art, and he's like, I want to get back to the art and the artist and how they portray that. And that it's all about respect and admiration for that character, and that's what he's desiring, as are most of us.
And that's not to say that Ryan Gosling can play MLK, but mm-hmm. if you can make Ryan Gosling look like MLK and he can do MLK's voice, and I turn on my TV and that looks like Martin Luther King Jr., go for it. You know what? I saw an Asian girl who was doing makeup on TikTok, and she made herself, I think, to be Michael Jordan, I think is who she was.
Kobe.
Oh, Kobe. Okay, yeah, no. Kobe Bryant. And she did her makeup. Of course, she used brown foundation to recreate Kobe's face. And she did it wonderfully. I mean, by the end of the video, she looked like Kobe Bryant. All these people were so pissed, saying that she is a racist, that she did blackface in order to do this, when it was quite literally an homage to somebody who has passed, a legend who has passed. And they were, you know, tearing her down on the internet. Makes no sense to me.
All this stuff, it's just like you're a moral simpleton. You know, the people, when we're talking about the erasing history, we're talking about the people who get outraged at the Kobe Bryant thing. Like, obviously, this Asian woman is not performing, you know, vaudeville sort of blackface and in a way that's intending to be a mockery of Black people. She's
right.
just using her skills as a makeup artist to look like someone else and showcasing that. And that should be a pretty innocuous thing. And if anything, impressive, because, wow, you have this skill and you can really make yourself look like this other person. And mm-hmm. that's all there is to it. But these moral simpletons have to come in and say, oh, it's blackface. And it's like, it takes literally zero thinking and just common sense to know that there's no racist or evil intent on the part of this makeup artist. And really on the part of a lot of this stuff that's in these former movies that just kind of reflect the world as it was in those times. It takes zero effort intellectually to just make that connection and say, okay, you know, some general norms around how we think about certain things have changed since that time, but I'm smart enough to differentiate and not need a trigger warning before I watch this movie or think that there should be one just to make myself feel virtuous. So the more I'm around this stuff, it just feels like moral simpletonism.
All you have to do is maintain accuracy, consistency, and respect for the work that you are, you know, recreating, which I guess everything is a recreation these days. So that's why we're all like worried about it. We're just retelling other people's stories constantly. But that's all you have to do. Be accurate. Have respect for, you know, what you are portraying, and be consistent. That's literally it. And then you can have a field day. Anybody can play anybody if you guys want to be accurate with the actual portrayal. And then it would be fine. But then we can't have that, which is just never, it's never that way. Now, let's get into, I don't know if I want to do this Chelsea Handler video. Did you guys watch the Chelsea Handler video? It's a little vulgar. We'll watch it. Okay, I'm just going to give a warning. Chelsea Handler, you all know, is a childless woman. She's child-free, makes a bunch of money. She constantly talks about it. You know, people on the right-wing end of things make fun of her for being childless, say that she's going to be unhappy. And then her and her people on the left wing make fun of right-wing people for having kids. And it's a back and forth that they do. Trigger warning, I guess, if you guys are sensitive to bad language. There's going to be some bad language at the end of this video. This is Chelsea Handler's response to Lauren Boebert talking about having a child and birth control. Just the clip.
I left a prescription at a pharmacy once. I went to get birth control. The price was very, very high. I said, wow, is this a 3-6 month prescription? No, ma'am, this is 1 month. And I said, it's cheaper to have a kid. And I left it there. And now I have my third son, Caden Boebert. And so I'm actually, it turned out to be a really great thing.
Great for who? Not the son who had to call the cops on your husband. Listen, that's really nice that you like your child, I guess. Birth control pills can cost between $20 and $50 for each pack. So let's say it's $50. That's $10,800 after 18 years. But the USDA estimates that parents can expect to pay between $15,000 and $17,000 a year raising a child. So that's about $300,000 to raise a kid to the age of 18. And that's not even including, if you're Lauren Boebert, how many guns you have to buy for each of them. Now, Lauren is getting divorced. If she has to pay child support, she's going to find out exactly how expensive kids are. Their divorce comes 2 decades after the couple first met while Lauren was working at Mickey D's at the age of 16 and her soon-to-be ex-husband was 22. Sounds like someone was ordering a Happy Meal. I can't spend too much time talking about this because I want to try out the new water slide I had installed at my new house that I bought with all of the disposable income I have from taking birth control and never having kids. Bye, Lauren. I heard you have a new boyfriend.
Okay. She says, I heard you have a new boyfriend. Try birth control. Or she gives another option at the end that I will not play because it is vulgar. It's so weird to me, the need to make a video like this. And maybe for both. You know, if you're like a woman who's like constantly like, have kids, have kids, have kids. Everybody should have kids, have kids, have kids. I would probably feel similarly. I think you should have kids if you want to have kids. And if you don't want to have kids, you're a great candidate to not have kids. Because the worst thing in the world to do is to have kids when you don't want them. And that would probably bring about a lot of, you know, trauma for multiple parties involved. And maybe you should hold off and make an adult decision that if you don't want kids, don't, you know, put yourself in the position to go ahead and have them. But her energy in this video of like, I'm just gonna go on my water slide with all the money that I have because I had no kids. It's just like, chill, girl. You don't need to defend your choice. It's okay. Like, if you're sound in the decision that you made, it should exist on its own. You don't have to go like find random videos of politicians saying they're happy to have their kids and then make a whole TikTok video about how you're so happy you didn't have kids. You know, the energy is strange, but this got 538,000 likes on TikTok. So this apparently resonated with a lot of people who thought this was super funny. To this, I just say, like, there's going to be two camps of women. It's going to be women who want to have kids and women who don't. And guess what? You guys all get to coexist on this great green earth. Yeah, you guys don't have to fight each other.
Seems like a chord was struck.
Yeah.
In this one, because the ad hominems came out and the personal attacks came out, and it just seemed like there was something that hit a little deeper in this, in just this statement that this representative made,
right.
That really struck her, and she had to go on an attack or something.
Yeah, I don't know, like why was she so triggered by this thing and feeling this need to just be like, look at everything that I have, and I'm gonna stand here. I'm gonna sit here with two boxes of condoms. For those of you who didn't know what she had sitting in front of her, two boxes of condoms to, I guess, you know, insinuate the reality of her life. So,
a little disingenuous too. Like, I'm pretty sure you can afford a water slide because you're a famous comedian actress, not
right.
Because of birth control. A little disingenuous to attribute that to not having kids. You could afford the water slide with kids if you were still having your successful comedic career. So whatever.
Yeah, just a little interesting. I thought we'd play that video really quick just because it's going viral on TikTok and so many people are loving, I guess, the energy that she brought to this. We love to just like own each other on the internet. Isn't that so fun, guys? Moving on to other conversations about comedy. Megan Rapinoe, you all know her and maybe like her or dislike her. She is on the U.S. women's national team for soccer, a very famous soccer player. She's come out and accused Dave Chappelle of being responsible for violence towards trans people. You know Dave Chappelle as a very famous comedian. He's been a famous comedian for quite some time, who came out with a comedy special that went out on Netflix and caused a massive uproar because of jokes he made about transgenderism, alongside jokes that he makes about every other group that has ever existed in society, including his own group, which is black men. So we all know comedy is a free-for-all. You can joke about anything and everyone, and that has always been the case up until recent years. But Megan Rapinoe came out and said, I don't want to mince words about it. Dave Chappelle making jokes about trans people directly leads to violence, whether it's verbal or otherwise, against trans people. When Martina or Sage, and she's referring to Sage Steele and Martina Navratilova? Who is a tennis player who's also spoken out against trans women being able to compete in women's sports. So that's why she brought them up. When Martina and Sage or whoever were talking about this, people aren't hearing it just in the context of elite sports. They're saying, the rest of my life, this is how I'm going to treat trans people. And this is what Rapinoe told Time when talking about Dave Chappelle, Sage Steele, and the tennis legend. I'm not going to try to say her last name again. Navratilova. There we go.
Navratilova.
So she's directly accusing Dave Chappelle of being responsible for violence. You know, that would be like me coming out and saying a comedian just got slapped while he was on stage. Megan Rapinoe is responsible for the violence against comedians because of what she said about Dave Chappelle in Time magazine. Do we see how that doesn't make sense? How you as a comedian or a content creator or any individual are in no way responsible for the actions of others based on words that you've said prior. You know, if you can make a joke about trans people or white people or black people or Asians, and if somebody else goes and commits an act of violence against them, you are in no way responsible for that act of violence. But Megan Rapinoe she's a little thick. She's a little thick in the brain, I think.
Yeah, it's really disgusting to make that connection and attribute violence. Like, that's so wrong for the reasons you laid out. And then there's also the irony is that in making trans people this sacred class of people that cannot be made fun of or mentioned in comedy routines, you're actually fostering exclusion and resentment. Like, I think any guy knows when you're growing up and a part of becoming a part of the group of guys is being included in the joking and in the in being made fun of a little bit and mm-hmm. poking fun at each other. And like, as a society as well, people being able to make jokes about everybody and comedians being able to make jokes about everybody is something that actually makes society more inclusive. It eases the tension. It sort of lets people remember that, you know, we're all kind of human here, and yeah, all of us have our little quirks and there's different funny things that happen. And also another part of this is the reason why comedians zero in on certain movements and especially like woke things in recent time is because they're the ones that are most dogmatic and make it so you're not allowed to say XYZs, and the comedians thrive on mm-hmm. things that they're not allowed to say. Violation at some level is just a part of what makes comedy work and what makes it tick. And the evidence of that is that when they call things out and it makes you laugh, it's just, that's the response, because there's truth behind what they're talking about. So on so many levels, she's wrong for connecting Dave Chappelle to violence, and she's really going to foster more exclusion and resentment of trans people by refusing to allow them to be included enough to be a part of jokes that happen in comedy routines.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying that Megan Rapinoe's statement about Dave Chappelle leads to violence against comedians. So she's the very reason that Dave Chappelle got... Didn't somebody try to attack him at a show in Los Angeles? It's Megan Rapinoe's fault.
Oh, yeah.
So that's... I just want that on the record. The reason that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock is Megan Rapinoe.
it's interesting, too. She's attacking Martina because Martina was, you know, the spearhead of... you know, gay, lesbian, pro athletes back in the day. And, you know, Rapinoe being what she says she is, you know, that it's like she should be kind of held in reverence or in some way, shape or form, because Rapinoe has the platform in a way because of what Martina did in the past.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. She's just cutting her own foundation off at the knees, which is part and parcel with what the woke ideology seems to be doing with everything we have in this world. They're attacking it from the current perspective. They're attacking the past, which brought about the current world. It's all backwards.
Yep. And it's going to bring down her own position in women's sports, which I guess she's retiring soon. So she won't have to worry about that anyways, because she is advocating that trans women are real women, and that if you want to exclude them from women's sports, that is extremely transphobic. That's what she says. She says, I see trans women as real women. What you're saying automatically in the argument, you're sort of telling on yourself already, is that you don't believe these people are women. Therefore, they're taking the other spot. I don't feel that way, Rapinoe says. I don't know what else you can say. They were beat by a group of 15-year-old boys. If that
and the old
show
men
you, and old men and old former Wrexham soccer players, yeah. And that was what, 12-0 that game. So
in like half a game,
yeah, within 40 minutes.
If you can't, with all your many experiences of being beat by biological males, understand that they have an unfair advantage competing against you in your own sport, I can't help you. There's nothing you can do there. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry you don't feel that way, but biology does.
Yeah. The facts do, in fact, feel that way. We're going to get here, lastly, into Sound of Freedom, which continues to be making headlines all across the United States of America. And the interesting thing is apparently people are having issues in the theater. We'll watch this clip and then we'll talk about it.
Something isn't right here. I recently made a video talking about the strange occurrences happening to viewers trying to watch Sound of Freedom. Well, it's gotten worse. Just check out these people's experiences.
Tried going to see Sound of Freedom, and this happened. No one left until they played the movie. They tried to give us free tickets if we left.
There's no one in here. And then it said that they were sold out. This is ridiculous.
Fire alarm goes off and people still watch the movie. They can't stop the truth.
Have you heard anything about the other movie theaters? AC not working?
Like the other houses?
No, well, like around the whole country, different theaters. In this movie only, the AC doesn't work. It's like super stiff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should look online. It's like,
no,
it's insane.
The thing is probably just, I don't know. I know it's been very popular, so the more people you have in a theater, the more different the
house. Yeah, we've been going to movie openings our whole life.
It's
never happened. Yeah, it's super weird.
Here's those four for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to put on my tinfoil hat here, right? Because we want to recognize that there could be people coming in with a little bit of bias into this film in the first place, okay? So what's happening essentially is there's been multiple stories, you know, from all different cities of people attempting to go and see this film and some sort of glitch or problem occurring. They can't get in to watch the film. The AC's not working in the room, so they're giving out free tickets for people to leave. What was the other one? There's just constant, like, the film will start and then stop and then start and then stop. And then people are saying it's because they don't want us to watch The Sound of Freedom. Now, I don't know that is to be true, because often you go to a movie theater and, you know, there's probably tons of problems at movie theaters all the time. They just don't get the same amount of press because this one is, you know, comes in with the packaging of people don't want you to see this, and the media is calling this movie conspiratorial. So it's hard to tell whether or not, you know, this is some sort of coordinated effort for people not to see the film, or if people are just, you know, filming these instances that would have happened in any other movie theater.
Yeah. This is where we need that conspiracy theory music again programmed in.
Right.
I wouldn't put it past some of these crazies to be like trying to sabotage the screenings of this film. Like,
right.
What was that Just Stop Oil protester the other day that went to some rich guy's wedding and like dumped paint on the bride while they were getting married or something? Did you see that one?
I didn't hear about that.
Anyways, yeah. They're gluing themselves. I mean, that was PETA gluing themselves to the Starbucks counter to protest milk and stuff. So these people do crazy stuff to fight things that they don't believe in, but it's a weird thing to be fighting a movie that's raising awareness for child trafficking. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I mean, when you couple it with some of the coverage of this movie, which we're going to play here shortly, it does make you start
confetti,
to think...
not paint that was thrown on the bride. I'm sorry.
Oh, confetti. Gotcha. And we got a $50 super chat from William Huck. No message, but thank you so much for your super chat. We greatly appreciate it. And yeah, it's hard because you can see these videos and think, you know, there's people trying to stop others from being able to see this film, especially when you couple it with some of the coverage that we'll play here.
the conspiratorial thinking that has led many Americans to raise awareness about child sex trafficking epidemic that simply does not exist. Tell us, first of all, about the conspiracy that's being pushed here.
It's become sort of a popular piece of folklore now that there is this epidemic of child sex trafficking and children vanishing in the United States, and that the government or the media is either complicit in some way or just willfully overlooking it.
You know, we were talking actually a couple days ago about conspiracy theories that have always been with us. Lyndon Johnson killed JFK. Bill Clinton killed all these people, all of these conspiracy theories.
These films are created out of bogus statistics, and with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites. Now, it's not true, but it's a very comforting and it's a very warm feeling to have.
It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on. To no avail.
Epstein's death, I think.
Now, ignore the editing here, because there's musical playing all over this, and clearly somebody with bias created this video. But to hear people say that, like, what is the argument here? That people are, I guess, concerned about something that is not happening. Even if it was not happening, would the concern be wrong if you think that it is? And to say that it's not happening after everything that we went through, of course, with Epstein and that little black book that we still have yet to see the names in, and all of his connections to, you know, the greater elite world in this country and in many other countries, to deny that just kind of blows my mind. And when you think about the fact that I think in a bipartisan sense, we can all acknowledge that child predators exist, and they exist in large scale. Why would you not think an industry of human trafficking would also coincide with that? It just does not make sense to me how anybody could, with a straight face, say that none of this is real and this is all conspiratorial and made up.
Yeah, it's reframing and crazy mental gymnastics to somehow just justify opposing what is actually a very straightforward message in a movie about bringing awareness to human trafficking. It's a simple story. They're talking about, oh, well, the statistics that they base these on are all made up. It's like, what statistics? What are you talking about? And, you know, I'm reminded of that clip that was going viral of Destiny, the progressive streamer, mm-hmm. who was on some podcast, and he was talking about, you know, the definition of a chair or whatever. I've heard this argument a lot of, like, when people say, what is a woman? And he's like, well, it sounds like it's really obvious, right? Like, people say adult human female, but, you know, a chair is, if you say that that's something with a seat and four legs, that could also be a horse. So is a chair a horse or something like that? And mm-hmm. it's like this dumb, like, sophistry sort of mysticism argument when we know what a freaking chair is, you know, and just mm-hmm. like that, like, we know this movie is about human trafficking. We know that's evil. Why do you need to do all these mental gymnastics to justify this other narrative that you're trying to push, or justify fighting against something that is just a very straightforward reality that we're trying to raise awareness of? Knowing what a woman is matters. Child trafficking matters. Stop doing all this weird stuff to do the mental gymnastics to oppose it.
Dude, and it's like, we know it. We've seen it with our own eyes. There's evidence of it. I don't know if anybody who's covered or looked at any of the coverage of what's happening at the U.S. border right now knows that human trafficking is a massive issue. These kids showing up with random people claiming to be their parents or relatives. These young girls who are showing up at these border facilities who have been abused for every single moment that they have traveled to our border. And if you read into some of the stories of the young girls and women that they are finding, and boys too, heinous, some of the stuff that is happening to them while they're on this journey with random people who they do not know. And to think that that's not happening all over the world, it's just ridiculous, right? These are vulnerable individuals who cannot advocate for themselves. Of course they're a target for people who want to take advantage of them, make money off of them, sexually exploit them. And it's come to a head here in California as the California Assembly Committee blocks a bill that could have sent human traffickers of kids to prison for life. This is essentially a bill called the Senate Bill 14, which would make human trafficking of children a serious felony. Serious felony charges under California law currently include murder, rape, and other crime, which may incur the death penalty or a life sentence in state prison. So they wanted to move up trafficking children to a serious felony, and it was shot down, which is just so interesting to me that why anybody would be against that is beyond me. I don't know what the logic is there for that decision. The bill had already cleared the Senate with bipartisan support, meaning both ends of the aisle had supported this bill and supported moving it forward. And then, you know, they had victims present and, you know, everybody who was invested in this being passed to become a serious felony here, and they shot it down. Why you would do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. So then, you know, they call you a tinfoil hatter and say that you're being conspiratorial for talking about these things and that there's no, you know, larger effort to keep these things happening or at least stop people from being punished for doing them. And then they go and vote on a bill and, you know, pass on making this a serious felony in the state of California, which is, of course, you all know, a very active border state as well, where kids and drugs and the like, everything is being trafficked along the southern border. Why would you not want that to be a serious felony? I'm sure there will be somebody who comes out with some sort of reason why this was shot down. But for it to get bipartisan support in the Senate first and then, you know, say, and then for them to say, no, we're not going to pass this anymore, blows my mind. And right on time with everything that's happening right now with this movie. Interesting. Let's get into Super Chats, guys.
On that encouraging note.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for the super chats today. Let's see. Our first one is scrolling. Here we go. Audrey, actually, Sup My Dude says, go Cox. I wonder how the others in his family, the smaller members of the family, think about his opinion.
Yep.
He was just trying to make puns.
Yes.
And I'm not going to
I'm sure that they support him. He's a wise man.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure they support
Brian's great.
Brian's is great.
He's based. All right. Thanks, up, my dude. Not really, but okay. Audrey says, have you seen what's been going on to Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks? The trans mob are coming after her. She's a leftist becoming more politically homeless and really opening her eyes to the purity spiral from the left.
I have. There at some point, and you know, a certain issue strikes you and you realize that you can't be in congruence with everything that your side thinks. And for that, for her, it was the trans issue. She's spoken out about not wanting to be called cis. She has spoken out about puberty blockers not being reversible, where she had previously, I believe, said that they were. And now, guess what? The mob is at her door, which I'm pretty sure the Young Turks and Anna Kasparian were like calling people transphobes and all these different things prior to this. So she's getting a little bit of a taste of her own medicine, but I'm not going to endorse it. All I'm going to say is thank you to her for being vocal about changing her mind on the issue and saying, you know what? I've got different information now and I feel a different way about this now that I have the information. We should all be encouraging her so long as she is continuing to tell the truth.
Hear, hear. And we invited her on the show like a year ago. I wonder if she would accept it now, this time around, but we'll see.
William Huck sends another $50 super chat.
Says, go for it.
A messed up super chat, LOL. Meant to ask if you'd be interested in interviewing Tim Ballard. Also, I worry about living in California. Things are crazy here. We actually had another personality at PragerU. His name is Aldo. He recently interviewed Tim Ballard. So you can check that out at PragerU.com and check out their back and forth. And we've had Tim Ballard on our prior show before. I don't know if the video is still up on YouTube, but you can search for it. We've interviewed him.
It's probably on PragerU.com.
Yep.
So there's several interviews with Tim Ballard. One of which at least Tombaugh is involved in on Prageru.com. So go check him out. Just search Tim Ballard on PragerU and you'll find it. Let's see. Hi Q says he doesn't know where it's coming from. Look in the mirror, Brian. It's coming from people like you.
I don't know that I would agree with that. I don't think that Brian has ever done anything to my knowledge that has moved forward the woke agenda. Are they talking about Succession?
I don't know.
Just Hollywood in general.
Maybe yeah. Hollywood in Your general. He did earlier in that interview, Brian Cox did kind of say something about the day Succession started was the day that Trump got elected and we had to live under 4 years of that or whatever. So mm-hmm. he was a little like maybe betrayed some progressive leanings, but yeah, even so,
he doesn't
strike
me as woke.
Yeah. Similar to Anna Kasparian. It's like, obviously we're not going to agree with him on everything, but it's like,
right.
Hey, team reality, we keep a wide open door and we're glad anytime anyone wants to speak truth, mm-hmm. we're going to applaud that. So there we go. nice. Stephanie Fonseca says, saw Sound of Freedom yesterday, 10 out of 10, but I was angered knowing people are demanding money for their ancestors' suffering when there's active slavery now.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that a lot. I think slavery is probably worse now than it's been, at least with the number of people who are being subjected to slavery, worse than any other time in our recent history.
Must Pavlov Dogs says, I remember the blackface scene in Mad Men. It's clearly supposed to be cringy, and several characters react with disgust. Disclaimers are insulting.
Yeah, it's like freaking Roger at his wedding or something like that. And he does like a little, you know, performance for his soon to be bride. Ugh, just people, I can't believe, can't just interpret these things as they are. If you watch Mad Men, you're going to be offended a lot. I mean, it is like misogyny towards women. There is like anti-Semitic jokes. There's jokes about black people. Of course, there's heavy segregation at the time. Because it's a historical fiction. So don't watch that if you're sensitive.
Damian Wooten says, I can't wait to take politics out of entertainment with my own comic book brand. Low Life Inc. just wanting to bring back having fun again.
Hey, all very right, fun. Damian. We love an alternative.
Low Life Inc. Check it out. JJ Dusk says, your conversation about how important history is reminded me of something that I learned about recently, the Barbary Pirates. Just curious if any of you have looked into this piece in time.
No, mm-mm. Not heard of that.
I've heard of it. I can't remember. I think that was like the African pirates who were like enslaving people.
We're mostly Berbers, Arabs, and other Muslims, but some came from Christian Europe. The pirates used small, fast-moving vessels to capture trading ships and their cargoes. They held the crew and passengers for ransom or sold them as slaves. Each of the four Barbary states had its own ruler. Hmm. Learned a little something-something today.
Stephanie Fonseca again says, I think the film stated that there's more child slaves now than there were slaves when it was legal. Was going to include the link at the end of film, but looks like I'm not allowed to.
Yeah. LOL. I mean, I would not be surprised if that were true. Not just even child slaves. I mean, just slavery in general across the world is still a massive issue.
Of multiple
Virginia
races, right?
Whitley.
Multiple races, yeah. Not white on black slavery, just slavery across all different mm-hmm. types of backgrounds.
The whole country of North Korea is basically a slave state with millions of people living in it. Yeah. So, Virginia Whitley says, hi, Amala. This is my first super chat. Just wanted to say hi.
Thank you. Hi. Glad to have you.
Tiffany Houston says, wondering if Amala has seen Song of the South. We watched it as kids, and honestly, I hate that no one is allowed to see the movie anymore. Thoughts?
I've seen clips of the Song of the South, and I believe I watched it as a child, but I'm not, you know, not close enough now to remember what the film was about. But we've covered, like, Zippity-Doo-Dah and that whole song and some of the characters that are present in that film, which the film is not a racist film. It's, in fact, very much the opposite. That's wild. I think we have an episode where we talk about Song of the South on this channel. You guys can check that out. But yeah, my grandmother has, I believe, one of the VHSs of Song of the South, which those are very hard to come by these days.
Indeed. William Huck just sends a super chat. No message. Thank you, William. Lillian Oster says, have you ever heard of the YouTuber The Offensive Tranny? Highly recommended. Would love you to do a collab.
I have. And I think
I've seen some of it, yeah.
I think they've done videos with Blair, I believe. And maybe one with our another friend of the show, Misha Petrov. So maybe we'll link up.
Be down. Torin Hot Sauce says, a little late, but as a trans man, I found Chappelle's joke about backing up to the urinal. Thank you for your service. Absolutely hilarious.
Good. It's good to know that there's people still have an intact sense of humor out there, which, you know, a lot of it is, again, people being offended on behalf of others, much like what Megan Rapinoe is displaying in her Time interview.
Exactly. Thank you for being here, Torin. Drama Forever says, huge fan. Out of curiosity, does your opinion on the trigger warning for media stay the same if it was about SA, sexual assault, or other abuses that may cause PTSD, even if it came out of left field?
Yeah, I'm like, it should be fine. Like, you as a person should know that, like, there are going to be things in the world that do trigger a response for you, and that, you know, nobody is ever safe from those things. There could be a million things that could, you know, trigger somebody or something. I had a patient one time at the old practice that I used to work at before I worked here, and he was triggered by people snapping their fingers because he had experienced war, and somebody that he was fighting alongside had gotten shot in the leg, and apparently that was the sound that he had heard. So when people snap their fingers, he feels triggered by that, and it can actually, you know, create quite a episode for him. Is he going to be saved from people snapping their fingers for the rest of his life? Probably not. He's probably never going to get a trigger warning for that for the rest of his life. And even though you can feel like the utmost sympathy and empathy for somebody who's gone through something like that and go, you know what, that is truly horrible, I will not snap my fingers around you because I know what that does to you. Do we need to, like, put a blanket statement on everything that anybody watches that could be triggering? Not in my opinion. Now, if you're a director or an artist and that's what you want to do and you want to, you know, apply a trigger warning to the things that you create, that's your prerogative. But I don't think that it should be something that is expected.
And it seems like by today's logic, we would just institute a ban on snapping globally.
Right. Because, yeah, you never know. There's going to be a million individuals who have a million different things that trigger right. them in a million different ways. So, yeah, it's not something I'm not going to be upset, you know, but I don't agree.
Lorna's Little Love says nothing but sends a super chat. Thank you, Lorna's. Rock, Paper, Scissors says, hey, guys, are you planning to see Sound of Freedom? And will you share your thoughts on a video? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I am going to watch it. I don't know if I'm going to make a video about it, but I will watch it. We've covered it so much on the show now that I feel as though we've already, you know, expressed the thoughts we have towards the subject.
Maggie Catherine says, people have known for years that there's human trafficking happening in this country. Why deny it and label it as Q if they're not trying to hide it?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things. I imagine there are people who are engaging in this sort of behavior that are trying to hide it. There are people who have their political agendas and they just don't like anything that is considered to be right wing. So they're going to say what they're going to say. And then there's people who are just like pawns. Like, if you work at a news organization and they tell you, here's what I want you to say about this story and here's the guest you're going to have on the show, that's what you're going to do, right? Because somebody told you to do it. So many different things at play.
Faux Girl says, I live near many reservations and the numbers of disappearances reported are so low. It is so much worse. It's like denying the Holocaust.
Live on a Indian reservation and people, the human trafficking that happens there. I've heard stories of people saying that that's a massive issue on reservations, but I've never gone and looked to confirm.
There's a movie that Taylor Sheridan had created called Wind River with Jeremy Renner in it. Mm-hmm. Very, very heavy movie that circles around this topic. So I'd suggest people watch that.
Yeah,
because
I imagine there's a lot of a lack of regulation and surveillance in reservations that could probably lead to this being a far more pervasive problem there.
Hmm. Thanks for that, Faux Girl. Viribus Unidas says, recommended show Heidi, Girl of the Alps, 1974 animated series by young Hayao Miyazaki, so faithfully adapted from the source material that you recognize every stone in Minefield if you ever go there. Amala should know it.
Wait, what is it called?
Heidi, Girl of the Alps.
Heidi, Girl of the Alps. I've not heard of that. Now I'm writing that. I'm like writing that down immediately.
Yeah. Heidi, Girl. Amala loves.
I Miyazaki. Love Hayao Miyazaki. That's on the list, most definitely.
All right. Thank you, Viribus.
Thank you.
YouTube is censoring my comments. Says, can you also make a poll about who has seen Spider-Man? Because as much as Republicans beat their chest that everyone should see Sound of Freedom, they really don't care and just want to sound moral.
Oh, I don't know. I think, well, at what point, how can you distinguish between somebody who does or does not care? That's the issue. And the box office results for this film have been really high, but also what is, you know, paying money to watch a film at the end of the day? It's kind of hard to distinguish.
Yeah, and Spider-Man's like very much a mainstream blockbuster superhero movie. The reason why it's kind of interesting to see if people have seen Sound of Freedom or not, because it's a low budget, you know, niche movie that doesn't have all that support.
What is care in a globalized world? that's a philosophical question. What is care?
Let's see. Ryan Tevet says, thank you guys for all you do. I've truly been enlightened from following your podcast a few months ago. Another former leftist has seen the light.
Aw, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, Team Common Sense, Team Free Thinker, like we said, always taking new members.
Question the narrative.
Alex Anteas says, Republicans should blast commercials about the blocking of that Cali felony bill everywhere. That's literally saying they're okay with trafficking.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be much, much talk about it. I've seen many, many videos and people covering it, so we'll see. I would love to hear, as there could be reasoning as to why they didn't want this to go through. I'd be curious to hear what that reasoning is. Sometimes you'll, like, they would do stories about, you know, the Republicans voted against interracial marriage and, like, gay marriage equality or whatever, and then you read the bill and you find out that there's, like, so much other stuff in there that made absolutely no sense. So I'm hoping that this is one of those occasions and that it's not just on its face them saying that this shouldn't be considered a serious felony.
It's very good faith of you. Mm-hmm. I suspect. My hope is very low that California has a good reason.
California is nuts, so who knows?
It's probably some weird, like, soft on crime ideology.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex again says, last but not least, let's get those likes up, people. Yeah, guys, we've been not having a proportionate amount of likes to viewers, and it hurts. You'll cut
please,
me deep, Shrek.
Please like the stream.
And Alex says, can I get an air horn, Scott?
I got you.
Love it. Diva Don says, Dems keep pushing trans into the forefront and denying true victims. There are documentaries galore about child trafficking, yet it's not real. California blows my mind. Governor Nuisance has the correct nickname.
Yeah,
did you give him that nickname?
Yeah, right. So many people shot down the Sound of Freedom being streamed on their platforms and, you know, shown or, you know, endorsing the film or producing the film. So I'm not surprised.
They missed out on a payday.
That they did.
William Huck says, love South Park's creativity philosophy. No subject is above reproach.
Yeah, I do. South Park is so good. That's a show that I, you know, just always go back to watch. Solid.
That's comedy, man. If y'all haven't watched it, go on HBO and watch their little documentary they did about
everyone gets it.
South Park.
Yeah.
Let's see. Billy Brew says, I love y'all's show. I'm 54. Y'all know why peeps don't talk a lot of junk about Gen Xers? Because we will mess y'all up, LOL.
What is Gen X? What time is that? Oh,
you're playing into the stereotypes. They're the forgotten generation.
No one knows or cares about them. I'm so sorry. I don't know, like, the age ranges of, I don't know when Gen Z stops and starts. Like, I don't know when Gen X stops and starts, or millennial, to be frank.
Millennials is probably like what, 36 to 20 something right now, or late 30s to.
Yeah, I would say like 20s. By the year, I think millennials are like 90 to 99, 2000. I keep seeing, those fluctuate a little bit, but apparently Gen X is the generation of Americans born between the mid 60s and the early 80s. So, right before, I guess, millennials.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Huh. But yeah, well, Gen X is welcome too, like we said.
Yeah, Team Reality. Can get it too.
Yeah. But door's wide open. Alex Santayas again, just food for thought. Have you guys ever thought about doing something like a Super Chat Friday?
What does that mean? Does that mean the show is all Super
no
Chats?
No agenda, just Super Chats. We'd have to like stack them up early because we wouldn't have anything to talk about until people gave Super Chats.
We can do 5 minutes of chatter, and maybe one of these days we will. If you guys are into that, we can do a poll if you guys would be actually into a show that is dictated by the Super Chats.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about doing like longer streams and stuff too, more chill ones. I don't know.
Yeah, let us
know. Let us know what you want.
Yeah.
We're down. Let's see. The Cosmic Burrito sends 2 Super Chats. No message, but thank you. Northern Flicker says, just want to say how much I love the time you guys go live. You make making dinner so much more entertaining.
Oh, wonderful. Happy to be of service.
Tipper T says, people are so sensitive these days. Do you guys think we'd be able to go back to the times where entertainment was more creative without pushing the woke agenda? I don't see it happening from my POV.
I think if it doesn't happen soon, people will just find other alternatives. Like, we talk a lot about how like anime and K-dramas and all this stuff are, you know, seeing a surge here in the United States. I think people do want it and they are looking for it. And if they don't find it here, they'll find it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a mixed bag for the foreseeable future, but there will be those Top Gun Mavericks. I'm curious, the new Mission Impossible just came out. I'm sure that's going to be non-woke.
Yeah.
Because Tom Cruise knows how to make films without putting woke stuff in them, apparently. Yeah. So, you know, but we'll see. We'll have it in pockets for sure. Lex says, 4 years I've heard rumors about UFO human trafficking. Do you think with all the trafficking stuff coming out that we will hear more about this?
UFO? What is that? Y'all know I don't really I'm not really into the whole UFO thing. I think if you look up a map of like all the places that have reported UFO sightings, America is like fully lit up. I think the UK is like fully lit up. It's like I think it's a cultural thing. Not to say that, you know, it doesn't exist or whatever, but definitely.
I want to believe as an X-Files fan. No, I mean, the human trafficking conversation is so serious and there's so much clear evidence of what's going on in places that we do know of by human beings that, you know, we should definitely make sure we got that on lockdown before we're too worried about the stuff that we can't prove.
Yeah, I want to focus on the humans.
Yeah. Patricia Weiss says, it's totally strange to me that there are people in this world who have never heard of Heidi. It's also a very good book from Johanna Spyri.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. We might be on something. Maybe I'll recommend it on the show. It's any good.
And then Kendra Walton says, would you ever have Yanmi Park as a guest?
We've interviewed Yanmi Park. That also exists at PragerU.com, so you can check out that interview. She's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's great. Diva Dawn says, this is the last one I have, says, my sister lives in California and she calls him Governor Nuisance, LOL.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
That is a new one. I don't know that I've heard that. which it's fitting. It is fitting indeed. Guys, that's our show for today. I hope you had a fun time. We talked about a lot of different stuff. Let me know your thoughts in the comments down below after the stream. And as always, we encourage healthy debate, so duke it out, but do so respectfully. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos for you guys every single day. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a movie so near and dear to my heart, and that is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because the new trailer for Wonka starring Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka came out, and I'll be reacting to that, talking about everything that's happened with modern day films. We've got a couple more super chats here we'll get into real quick. The Cosmic Burrito 2 says, AMC has a BlackRock connection. AMC also has refunded ticket sales of the film without notifying the customers, and one theater has silenced the message during the credits. You know what? It could be coordinated, guys. I don't know. I'm not able to make a definitive statement on that, but it could be. Lex says, I grew up in a town that doesn't even have cell service and planes can't fly through the mountains there yet. I always saw things zipping around the skies. Who knows what's going on? Maybe it's one of those Chinese spy balloons. Maybe those have been around for longer than we've known. Who knows? I'm sure unidentified flying objects do exist. Does that make them, you know, extraterrestrial and all that? I can't say. I'm not of the faculty to say at this moment. I'm in witness protection. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. We greatly appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow with that video about Wonka and that new trailer. And hope you have a good Wednesday night.